Okay, I'll begin by praying, as I always do. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity to deliver your word tonight, Lord, a word that is, for many of us, very exciting, something, Lord God, that many of us will look forward to, and on the other hand, for many listening to the podcast and watching on the Facebook, who are not yet saved, Lord God, it's very frightening. I ask you, Lord God, your word would leave this place tonight, Lord God, and penetrate the hearts of people who are listening, that they, Lord God, would consider their position, and Lord, would consider your Son Jesus as their Savior, as we deliver this message by your Spirit tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 24, just give you plenty of notice, and verses 28 to 31. Not yet, that's where I'm going to be reading from. Okay, this is the return of the man who never came back. Taddy started this off last week. And he said, watch out, watch out. There's a thief about. And he gave us a sort of resume of his time in prison cells and police cells. And all the posters that he'd seen. And I was going to rip that off and use something else that was very alike to it. But I decided not to do that because it would have been too similar. But the idea is you sometimes get off somebody else's talk and really... help you to do your talk. That's the whole idea about having a series of talks that you can run off one another. But anyway, Taddy was saying last week that not only should we watch out that there's a thief about, but there's a false prophet and there are false messiahs about, and there have been throughout the generations. He said that many false prophets and false messiahs are about because in churches across the world, especially our country, there are different types of gospel that aren't the true gospel preached. There are different versions of Jesus preached. And all of this will reap a false gospel and you will reap a false salvation. Jesus warned prior to his return that many false prophets and false messiahs would arise to lead people away from God and from God's truth. And that is happening in our day. It's happening today right on our doorstep, but we have false prophets preaching false gospels even just down the road. And other places, even in our town, where people are preaching other gospels than that that Jesus has given us. So the return of Jesus will happen, and although no one will miss it, and no one knows the time or the hour, it will be an absolute surprise. And for those who are not ready for the return of Jesus when it happens, those who are not yet saved through faith in Jesus, for them it will be too late. And that is a terrifying thought to have in your head. Many people comment about me and have said that I have no filter, and I don't really understand what that means. And I have asked a few people that I work with, what does it mean to have no filter? And they just say, if you're talking about you, it's going to take too long to explain. But I was thinking about, well, how does this filter, this dodgy filter of mine work? I'll give you an example. I was thinking about it. I came to Shiloh, and there used to be a couple of women who used to come here. I'm a very observant person. I will observe many, many things about you. You won't even know that I have picked up. And this one woman came in one day, I know her really well, started chatting about her, and I said to her, you've had your eyebrows done. And she looked at me. And she thought it was a compliment. And she said, yeah, got the eyebrows done. Yes. I said, yeah. I said, one's a wee bit shorter than the other. And she flew out that door, and I never seen her the rest of the day. And my wife came to me and said, what did you do to her? I said, just said about her eyebrows being a bit out of kilter. And got a real talent for that. And I realized then that I don't say what I see. And I see lots of things about lots of people all the time. And so I have to watch what I'm saying. And it's something that I'm holding back on now and starting to change a wee bit. Not saying what I see all the time. But often we fail to read the signs that are so blatantly and evident in front of us. If we're driving our cars, for example, and we're going to a certain place, we will watch for the road signs, we will watch the driving limits, we will do all those things to make sure that we are not going to break the law and we'll get there in time. Well, we need to have the same signs and the same ability to read them when it comes to reading the Bible and listening to your preachers and whoever it be. You need to be able to read the signs and read the signs in the Bible of what we're going to talk about tonight, and you need to be able to make sure that your filters are switched off, because you do not want to filter out the things that you're going to hear or block them out in a way that you're going to miss the signs that God gives and what he talks about in this verse. So I'm going to read tonight from chapter 24, verses 28 to 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You know, this reading tonight for me, I'm a very prophetic kind of guy. I love to see what the prophecy is in God's word. And this in Matthew here is a prime example of being able to see what God is saying and what's going to happen. Now, I'm not allowed to unpack it all because that's not what we're doing. But I'm going to give a slight overview of what is happening just to put it in the context and what Jesus is actually saying here. Now, he first of all talks about a great tribulation. And very quickly, in just a few verses, this is a period of time like no other on the earth. There's going to be 7 years of the Antichrist reign on the earth. The first 3.5 years will be in peace. They will be the best years you've ever imagined. You're going to think things are so good, they're never going to get any better. It is going to be a fab time. He's going to change and fix all the problems. He's going to do all these wonderful things. He's going to be a great friend to Israel. He's going to do wonderful, wonderful things. And then the last 3.5 years, it will be the most tormentous time upon this earth. No other time will be like the last 3.5 years of this reign. And following this period of time, we are told that the sun will be darkened and the moon will lose its light. And there's a lot of modern day prophets, a lot of modern day guys on the Godless Channel, and people giving their views. And some of them I quite like. They talk about association with the four red moons of late that we saw, especially coming up over Israel. And then there was the eclipses as well taking place, and people have certain views on what all this means. And these signs, people look in the book of Joel, which is really good, connects to this verse. If you look it up yourself, I'm not allowed to look at it too much, but you will see that there's associations with the coming of this day whenever Jesus is going to return. And the sun turning to darkness here may take place on occasion during solar eclipses. It's nothing out of the normal. We have eclipses quite frequently. But there are other natural phenomena that might take place. You see, God gives his signs in the heavens, and he does it a lot. And, you know, even from the days of Israel, and they read their feasts go by the lunar, it's always a full moon. And so God uses the heavens to give his signs in the skies, and they've occurred all the time. If you want to look at an example, you could look at the birth of Jesus. There was a great star in the sky. You could look at the creation of Israel in 1948. There was great wonders took place in the sky. And you can go and look at these things for yourself. And lately, like I said, we've had the four red blood moons on the feasts, the calendar feasts of Israel, which have been amazing. And I photographed the red moon and I thought, what an awesome sight. What does it all mean? Why are these things taking place? Why are these signs in the skies? Surely it's more than just a wonderful, rare event taking place. And again, I'm not going to get into this. I would love to, but I can't. But I'm going to leave you with just a verse before I move on into this. And it's a verse that's perplexed me for a long, long time since I became a Christian. And it says this, Revelation 12:1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. I'm leaving that with you just to consider what that all might mean, because that is to do with the end times. It's to do with things in the sky showing things. But anyway, to move on quickly. Signs will be given in the sky, and even at the time of Jesus' crucifixion, there was wonderful things that took place. The earth fell into darkness. Things took place that seemed supernatural. Things that didn't seem to be normal, especially in the middle of the daytime, 3 o'clock, whatever it was, it went completely dark. A similar description of things like this take place in Joel's prophecies, which I spoke of briefly, that include an eclipse before the arrival of Jesus coming back. And all of this evidence that I'm giving you is integral to God's timing, that he is always going to reveal something before it happens. He either reveals it to his prophets, or he will reveal it in signs like we've spoken of. There's also a stage being set before Jesus' return at this point. The stages are being set when we see that the heavens have been shaken and the stars have fallen. And this is Jesus speaking about what will happen, and he is using a mixture of apocalyptic imagery with literal and figurative language, and it can be difficult for us to grasp and to get our head around. We think about how is this going to happen? How's the stars going to fall? How's the heavens going to be shaken? What's really going to take place in this tribulation period before Jesus returns? What is sure is that it will be physical, it will be political, it will be a spiritual disruption, an upheaval like this earth will never have known, and it all takes place just before the return of Jesus. And then we talk about a sign of the Son of Man that will appear in the heavens just after this tribulation. And this has given much debate amongst Christian and Christian circles over the years. What did Jesus actually mean? Is he going to hang out a big massive banner across the sky saying, I'm coming back in 25 minutes so that everybody will be ready? Will it be like Constantine, who had the vision of the cross in the sky? Is it going to be something like that? I don't think so. Well, I would rather prefer and liken it to the actual coming of Jesus himself from the clouds. In Daniel chapter 7, it says this, just to tally back to this Matthew reading. In my vision at night I looked, and therefore before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority and glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will last, will not pass away, and his kingdom will never be destroyed. So this is Daniel speaking thousands of years beforehand, never seeing Jesus, never knowing Jesus, and yet being able to see the return of Jesus. Isn't that something to ponder upon, that he can actually see the return of Jesus and never actually know him? Daniel was a man gifted in dreams and visions by God in seeing these things. Many have speculated that when the return of Jesus will come, like Teddy said, it will happen in some time, in someone's lifetime, why not ours? We have many endless theorists running around the world predicting the end of the world. Apparently September 2018 is meant to be one of these theory conspiracists' ideas that, you know, things are going to change. Things are definitely changing and warming up to the return of Jesus. There is no doubt about that. You know, panic can set in when people think that signs are beginning to indicate that the end is nigh. And I have been watching a little. I love looking at things that are a bit off the wall and a bit sort of outside the scope of what I should be thinking about sometimes. And I kind of daydream off a bit and watch these things. And I've been watching a little about the idea that there's this wonderful, massive, big comet that's coming back. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's geeks who are into this. It's a big comet coming back around the earth somewhere, behind the sun. It's hiding apparently, and it's going to come flying around. And the comet itself is massive, but apparently the tail of this thing is like 100 million miles wide. It's a massive big thing that's coming, and apparently the conspiracy theorist has it that everybody's trying to hide this so none of us can find out. There's all sorts of lunatics writing stuff. I laugh my leg off. But it's going to wipe us all out. It's the end is nigh. Things are going to be coming to a swift end. And when I was watching it and listening to it, I was thinking about the story of Chicken Little and how, you know, he was one day walking around and an acorn fell out of the sky and hit him in the head. And he was convinced from that moment on that the sky was going to fall in and that the end was now. And he went and got all his wee animal friends, Clucky Lucky, and they all rhymed, these wee names. And he got them all together, his friends. He had them all convinced that the end was nigh. And then he met his end when he met the fox. The fox tricked him into coming into his lair, and then he ate them all for dinner. And that's the story of Chicken Little, or one of the ends to it. But there is a moral to be drawn from this little story, this little fairy tale. Just because he thought something was going to happen, he convinced others in believing it was going to happen and causing fear and panic. Fear-mongering is the Chicken Little syndrome. Whether justified or not, can sometimes lead to this response of catastrophic end to the world, resulting in paralysis. Paralysis through fear. People will get to the point where they're completely in fear, a sense of despair. They don't know what to do or where to go, and all of a sudden fear strikes. Many are keen to tell you when Jesus might return. The lunatics that are running around telling you Jesus is coming back on the 18th of September. Jesus is coming back next year. He's meant to come back in the Mayan calendar. You know, he's meant to come back here, there, and everywhere. People are running around. But Jesus made it very clear that after the tribulation and the heavens have been shaken and the sign of the Son of Man will appear, who I think will be Jesus on the clouds. And it's the idea of the sign, the pointer and the indicator that Jesus is coming on the clouds of power and great power and glory. And this is the moment when all the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see Jesus. And they're not mourning because they're happy to see him. They're mourning because they are facing judgment. When Jesus appears in the clouds, don't be thinking if you're an unsaved person, fantastic, I've got my opportunity. Time is closed. It's up for you. If you see Jesus in the clouds, you know it's game over. Jesus returns through the clouds in power and glory. And then there is a sound of a trumpet, and the elect, the chosen ones, are gathered together by the angels. And Jesus here is uses, in this whole account, is using prophetic and symbolic language to describe his return. And when this happens, it will be so sudden that many will be left behind. For them, it will be too late to be saved. It may be like the rapture scenario that you hear in the Left Behind film, and how frightening it will be and how devastating it will be. Can you imagine what it would be like if you're with your friend or somebody else and all of a sudden they're gone and you're left standing, what has happened? You will question people in higher places. You will seek answers. You will go wherever you can to try and work out what has happened. Don't forget, a great delusion will be sent upon the earth so that many will believe the lie that will be told to cover this up. Because many false prophets who have been ministers, many priests who have taught a false gospel, who didn't know Jesus, they will be left behind because they have believed the lie, a false gospel. And politicians will be sought to answer the question, what has happened? Where has everybody gone? This will catch people out because they have not been reading the signs, because they have not been understanding their Bibles, because they have had a certain filter turned on. They have missed what has been said. Tonight, your filters, take your filters off. The filters that are stopping the word of God from coming through into your life. Forget about aliens and spaceships and comets that come to the earth, because they will have little effect compared to the event of seeing Jesus coming back and taking you by surprise. You see, today in our world, there are warnings for everything. We have warnings for earthquakes. We have warnings for volcano eruptions. We have warnings for tsunamis and hurricanes and typhoons and massive storms. We have 3 or 4 taking place at the minute. We have the Ring of Fire at the minute. They talk about being very active. We have this wonderful Planet X that nobody can see that is going to come down and wipe us all out. We have all these warnings and lunatics telling us everything. We put on our televisions and we can track the path of the storm. We have people saying the storm's coming. Look from the satellites, we can see it coming. Run from your houses. And they have been doing that in America, and it's great. People in America, in the Philippines, and in China are at this time encountering these storms. But no such warning indicators will be in place when Jesus is returning. You will not have a 24-hour period to get ready and to get yourself saved. It isn't going to happen. You will not be able to run to the local church or fly down to Taddy's house and say, Jesus is coming back in 24 hours, Taddy. I need to get my life sorted. I need to be saved. I need to get ready. You will not have that opportunity. You tell people a storm is coming, they panic. You tell people Jesus is coming, and they laugh and ridicule you. You tell them Jesus is coming back, and they have no interest in listening to you. Who wants to hear about Jesus coming back? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, many say. I work with a few guys I see most days of the week, and I tell them about Jesus every day, and every day they roar their legs off. I tell them about Jesus coming back, and they laugh. And they tell me they'll give me $100 if I can let them know when he's coming, just to pay me up front to give them the insight. You're not going to know when this storm comes. It will eclipse every other storm. If you add them all together, every other earthquake, every volcano, wrap them all together, when Jesus returns, they won't even be like a drop in the ocean. It will be the most terrifying moment of your entire life if you are not saved when Jesus comes back on the clouds. And don't forget, he's coming back after a period of real torment and awful destruction. You know, the Antichrist will have been in the earth, and he's coming back after that. So as if things haven't been bad enough for you, when Jesus is coming back, it's going to get worse. There are a few points that I have said tonight that I need to amplify just to make it abundantly clear to what's going to happen. The return of Jesus is going to happen. There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus is coming back very, very soon. The return of Jesus will create fear amongst those who do not believe in him. If you're on the earth and you see Jesus coming in the clouds, you're in trouble. There is no way back. The return of Jesus will create mourning as people realize it's too late to be saved. There's nothing you can do. No point in trying to run to Taddy's house whenever Jesus appears in the clouds. He won't be here, by the way. He'll be on the clouds, hopefully with me. And the return of Jesus will create great joy for those who belong to him and have been waiting for that moment. If you're on the earth, I'm not quite sure if Christians only have during the tribulation, what way it's going to work out. It's not tonight. But if I'm on the earth when Jesus returns and I see him, I'm going to be the happiest person to ever walk on the earth, because I'm going to have come through the tribulation. So tonight you may be a Chicken Little today, worrying about Jesus coming back, worrying about running around and telling everybody Jesus is coming back. And if you are a Chicken Little today, you're viewed as being insane. You know what? You're on the right track. You might not get the day right. You might be running around telling everybody Jesus is coming back, and I'm thankful you're doing that. But you're worrying yourself to death because you can't point the time or the moment that it will happen. You may also be the other person with the filters. The filters that are on, that are blanking out this talk, that are blanking on the fact that Jesus is coming back, that blank out anything to do with your salvation, anything you need to do, blanking out anything about the holiness of God that were going on in the mornings. You're blanking out everything, and the filters are on, and this world is walking around in these filters, not able to hear the word of God being preached. And the closer and closer it gets, the more and more the filters will just silence out any preaching of the word of God. We will not be allowed to preach in 20 years' time on the streets. We will not be able to give our views against other religions. We will not be able to preach anything that is contrary to the worldview. We will be people who are deemed dangerous and right-wing extremists for our views. Well, you're in danger tonight, real danger, not from a falling acorn, or not from an alien attack, or not from a comet that's going to hit the earth. You're in danger of being left behind if Jesus returns tonight. And you will be left wailing and mourning when all hope is gone. The signs of Jesus' return are plain to see for those who know him and love him and know His Word and understand it. You've got to turn from danger tonight. And I'm saying this like I'm expecting Jesus to come back at any moment. It says about His imminent return. But if you are not saved tonight, if you're listening to Facebook, if you listen in the podcast later, whatever, if you are not saved, if you do not know Jesus, you need to consider your salvation. It is not open for debate whether or not Jesus will come back. The only time you have is that day. Because tomorrow is promised to no man. You cannot rely upon a deathbed. You cannot wait for a 24-hour alarm going off saying Jesus is coming back. You are in perilous danger tonight if you don't know Jesus. You don't hear that taught, you're in perilous danger. You are in danger, danger, danger. Because if you die tonight, you will die in your sin and you will be separated from God for eternity. Don't leave it too late, because you may not get another opportunity. You may not get another day. You may not get another week. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to turn to Jesus. Don't make the mistake that millions will and have made and perish without hope. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the excitement for believers that's in it, that we can see that there is that day when you return, that we are able, Lord God, to be caught up with you in the clouds. A day, Lord God, that I cannot imagine. A day, Lord God, that I hope and look forward to. But Lord, we pray for all the people who do not yet know you, Lord God. Those people who are walking around with filters on their ears. The people who do not want to hear the truth. The people who would rather hear about a comet coming to the earth and worry about that instead of worrying about the return of the Son of God. I ask you, Lord God, please to penetrate the hearts of the people listening, that they would realize how dangerous and perilous their position is without you, Lord Jesus. And I ask that tonight they would turn in their hearts, Lord God, they would turn and they would ask you into their hearts and ask you, Lord, to be their Savior. And I ask you, Lord, please, that many would be saved through your word and through what you have done for them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.